Just thought I'd share a couple of thoughts today with you guys about what the camp theme has meant to me. I was actually really excited. You know, I found out I was giving a talk towards the start of camp, and that's good because you don't get accused of plagiarism as much. There's not as many talks being given already. And then Jeff must have borrowed my notes when he came up here yesterday. So thanks very much, Jeff. I'll get you to turn quickly to, just bear with me a second while I get my notes up. Revelations 22, verse 12. So in verse 12 of Revelations 22, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." And we'll go down to verse 14. It says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." So I believe that sort of verse 14 is expanding on the second part of verse 12. First part saying, you know, God's coming quickly. And that's, you know, one of the parts of the theme of camp. But the word quickly there is quite interesting, I think, because when I think of quickly, I think of impact. You know, if something is moving quickly upon collision with something, it makes an impact. And of course, we know that when God returns, he's going to make an impact, good or bad, depending on what you've done in your life. And then the second part of that verse, then 14, talks about that he comes with his reward for those that have done his work. So we have to be prepared for that impact. We have to do that work correctly in order for his arrival to be a positive thing in our lives. And to be prepared at all times is an interesting thing. I was actually chatting to Pastor Kevin at the start of camp about a teacher I used to have for year 10 English, and ironically she was Scottish, but she used to, I won't do an accent, but she used to say sort of like, "You've got a test coming up soon, I know when, but you don't," and you'd go, "Oh, Miss Galbraith, piece of work," and then you'd rush home and you'd study for English because you were so scared that this Scottish lady would throw something at you if you didn't do well in your test, which might be tomorrow, and then it wasn't tomorrow, but you still went home and studied again, because it might be the day afterwards. And that sort of went on. And then after a week or so, this test came and you sat down and you're like, "Oh, this is easy. You know, I've done, you know, 10 hours of revision or something." And that was just out of fear. Maybe that's not always the best thing. But the point is that if she had said, "Your test is next Tuesday," a lot of people like myself would have gone, "Sweet, Monday night, I'll start learning some stuff about English." But keeping you on your toes, on the balls of your feet, meant that you were more proactive about your learning process there. So again, I think that God coming quickly, you can maybe substitute the word quickly there for suddenly. Just talking about how, you know, we've got signs and wonders and we know there's all these prophecies being fulfilled. It's not something I'm going to go into. But we do know there's indications of his return, but he still hasn't said 17th of February 2019, "I'm coming back." Because you'd get the people in the class that would wait till the 16th to go on prayer and fast or something, I don't know, yeah, something like that. But so we're being kept on our toes by God, and that's no coincidence. And Jeff actually talked yesterday about the parable about the wise virgins, and that's just sort of summed up what I've said in the last few minutes of waffle, but very succinctly there. You know, there's those that that slumber instead of prepare. And then when the master returns, that they haven't done anything to impress him, and they're not invited into the house because they're busy about business trying to fix things. Mark 13, if you will. Now, because of my heritage, I'm obliged, in order to keep a passport, to talk about football briefly. And football is proper football, not your one. but we were always taught, you know, if we were sent into goal, which usually meant you weren't very good, so I spent a lot of time in goal. The first thing you were told is stay on the balls of your feet. Because as soon as you're sort of flat-footed, it's not very hard to let things pass you. And you can liken that to, you know, it's good to stay alert on the balls of your feet spiritually as well. Because if you're flat-footed and you're hanging onto the crossbar because you're a wee bit tired and stuff like that, it doesn't take much for things to slip by. And often is the case, you only realize once it's gone past you that you should have been doing something about it. So there's an English lesson. Mark 13, 32. We'll read the last few verses of this chapter. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you knoweth not when the time is. So that's sort of talking about, reinforcing the point in Revelations that we just made. We don't know when, so we have to be ready at all times. Verse 34 says, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. So, there's an instant parallel to, the Son of Man, Jesus. He was on this earth and he gave us all our work to do. He's gone on a little bit of a journey and he's coming back and he expects our work to be done. Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. So don't get caught napping is what I got from that. And then 37, and what I say unto you, I will say unto all, watch. So that just, sort of further backs up the point of God set us tasks to do. We know what those tasks are. We're all full aware sort of thing. But he expects them to be done, and he has a due date on those things. It's just that we don't know the due date. So we've almost just got to hurry to it. We've got to get things done and keep them topped up. Just sort of talking about an example of preparation more in general as opposed to preparation for a sudden impact. One of the jobs I've had in Australia, I found on Gumtree, and it said landscaper's labourer. And in my language, that means easy job trimming hedges. So I thought, yep, that's me. That's me. And then they said, brilliant, yep, come on in, bring some basic hand tools. And I thought, secateurs, they'll be impressed. And then I rocked up to this yard in Midland. I was like, this doesn't look what I pictured. It's big trucks and cement mixers and things. I thought, I just won't think about that. And then my first day on the job, this big Aussie foreman, tattoos all over his arms and stuff. He comes up and he says, mate, you need to move that bunch of limestone blocks. They were sort of 40, 50 kilos. You need to carry them down there and throw them to him. And I was sort of holding this pair of secateurs thinking, so these won't be necessary, And I was ill prepared through ignorance, through arrogance even, but just whatever it was, I wasn't ready. And as a result, that was probably like the hardest I've worked in my life that day, much to the amusement of several Australian fellas. But what I wanted to talk more about was one of the things we used to do was paving. So, driveways, and there's some of it out there as well. And a lot of the work, pretty much all of it, goes into what's underneath the bricks or around the bricks. So all of the hard work goes in and then you just cover it. And the thing with that preparation is it's the back-breaking stuff. You're on your hands and knees, you're carrying heavy things, you're not trimming hedges. But that's the most important part. Because if there's not a solid foundation, as with any sort of building, I suppose, then any sort of rainfall, any sort of impact will sort of compromise the structure or appearance of that. So I remember being just absolutely sort of heartbroken because you spend a day or two working, backbreaking, just making things level and stuff, and then someone just covers it in bricks and it's never mentioned again, and you get sent to another site to do the same thing over and over again. But without it, putting the bricks down is pointless because all they'll do is move. And that's the sort of same thing. The preparation is the hard bit, the day in, day outs, for preparing for the Lord's return, preparing for him to call us home. But at the end of the day, when you'd finished preparing the paving, you clock off, bit of rest. And it's going to be the same sort of thing. When Jesus comes back and we've prepared ourselves well, prepared his temple as he expects the servants to prepare his house, we'll get to clock off from the paving, if you like. We'll enter into his rest. And it's made that much sweeter by hard work. We'll jump into Matthew 25 very briefly. So as Jeff was reading through this, I was getting more and more nervous because he was getting closer and closer to verses that can only be labelled as mine. I won't read out the whole parable of the talents. I think most of us are familiar with it, but in summation, there's three people who do different things with what was given to them. There's different levels of increase, and then someone stagnated. And what we're going to read here, verse 23 first, is the lord of this land's response to the person who has increased the talent. So 23 says, his lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. And we've heard that phrase before. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So there we see the increase that God's given. He had an increase over a few, and now he was a ruler of many. And that's the sort of the benefit. He gets to enter the joy of his Lord. And of course, the joy of our Lord is entering into those gates. Now, if we duck down a few verses, it sort of gets a little bit more of a warning to heed. Verse 26 and then 30, we'll read. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Verse 30, still speaking to the person who did nothing, and cast ye this unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we've heard the phrases enter into my rest and wailing of gnashing of teeth, you know, several times before. So that's no mistake. God's showing that there's a punishment to be had if we're ill-prepared, but there's a reward to be had if we are prepared. And that's sort of the thing I got most from this particular theme of the camp, is that preparation is, it can be a sense of overcoming or an investment even, where you have to put in, but God blesses the increase. And then when he returns, that investment, that labor, that hard work, rest is had.